Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, all. It is a Tuesday night. Oh, my God, it's Tuesday already. And it's June. My God, it's June 18th. Oh, God, how has this year gone? I mean, sheesh, it'll be December before I close my eyes again. All kidding aside, I have a lady here. And she impressed me, wows me. I mean, what else can I say? Paris, you tell them about you. What you want them to know about you.
Oh, man. No pressure on me, Bennett. Okay.
No
I am
pressure
the mother.
At all. I'm not giving you pressure. You tell. Okay. Tell them what you want to know about you. I'm thrilled to have you as a guest.
Okay, here's what is important to know about me. I'm the author of almost 50 books, but more importantly, I'm the mother of 5 sons, and they're starving, and they have malnutrition, and their ribs are showing, and I may go to debtor's prison, so please buy my books. That's it.
Oh, debtor's prison, huh?
I'm on my way to Fiji's Island's debtor's prison if enough people don't buy my book.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, okay, yeah. Is that the one where they keep women chained up?
I think I'm going to take the 5th on that because I really don't know yet. They haven't sent me.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to evade arrest if enough people contribute to my dwindling budget here.
Well, let me ask you, Gary online asked this question of you. How do you get your ideas? Because
oh, wow,
he read that you've done 50 books. How do you get your ideas for these things?
Well, it's not quite 50. I'm thinking 47 or 48 novels. But truly, the ideas, there are a million of them. You walk into a library and there's a million ideas in there. It's finding an idea that impassions you enough to sit and give maybe 2 years of your life to. That's it, to find the passion in an idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, now from Diane 1010. I'm not writing these people's names. That's the handle. She asked, what's your latest project?
All right. Yay, yippee. I have a series coming out in November of 5 novels. They're coming out every 6 months. And the series is called the Texican Series, and it starts in 1835 with the Brigands. That's the first book, and Sam Houston. And Bennett, it goes all the way through 1963 with Lyndon B. Johnson and, of course, the assassination. So the Texican Series is coming up, and then I'm also working on a book set in New Mexico and England simultaneously. 2 sets of
God,
characters going on.
God, you're working harder than me. I'm scared now.
I've got to work to keep out of debtor's prison. By the way, may I tell you how impressed I am with you and just reading everything about you. You're the Renaissance man, I would say.
Okay. Tell my girlfriend that she'd love to hear it. You know, that way I can keep reminding her. All kidding aside.
I will tell your girlfriend if you would tell Johnny Depp that I'm single and tell him to call me.
Yeah, well, I don't know him that personally, so yeah.
Oh, rats. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I know. What can I tell you? The funny one was a friend of mine, I don't want to tell the author's name, even though the author was a famous author. It's like, you know that person? I said, yeah. And lo and behold, I was at an Orioles game. He's one of the owners of the Orioles. And I was in the box, and they're like, Pomerantz, what are you doing here? Oh, I know Tom. And they're like, you know Tom? And he says, yeah. And Tom interjects. Yeah, he's no longer with us. But Tom interjects and says, yeah, is he bothering you? And it was just, you know, I'm very relaxed and loose. I don't believe my own hype, my own celebrity.
I'm getting that impression. You are. You seem easygoing. So be easygoing on me. Be gentle, okay?
Okay, I'll be gentle. I promise. I took out the whips and chains, so we're good.
Okay. Oh, it's good. That sounds really reassuring.
I took out the whips and chains and everything else, so we're good.
I'm hoping you mean you removed them, not took them out.
Yeah, I removed them. I was being
okay,
nice.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure totally. Now, let me ask you. You said you're working on the Texican series. I want to make sure I pronounce it right.
Yes, sir, you got it right. But I've finished all five books.
Don't call me Sir Paris. Just I'm Bennett. Don't worry about that, okay?
Well, Bennett, I'm from the Deep South.
How did you get your idea? Let's start with that one. How did you get your idea for the series? Did you go to your publisher and say, I want six books, one every 3 months or whatever? Or how did you propose it to the powers that be?
On this particular series, I started off not having a publisher for this particular series. And during the midst of it, a publisher came to me. And by the way, it's a wonderful publisher. It's Ogma. And said they would like anything I had. So I gave them the five books. I'd finished about three or four of them at the time. But so far, they're five.
No plans for a sixth?
There could be, but right now, like I told you, those are more of a historical saga about a founding family of Texas called the Paladins, but that's the Texicans. But right now, I'm working on more of a historical romance, so I'm feeling a little bit romantic tonight. Would that be okay?
For you, anything. You know, I'm
okay,
up for anything you have.
All righty. Well, Mark, any questions?
Yeah, well, I'm reading them right on the website, so I've got to read it. As they said to me, they said, this one is from Kimmy. That's what her handle is. I don't write umpteths. Okay.
All right. It's cute.
Kimmy says, what inspires you as a writer?
Sort of going back to that first point, it has to be something that impassions me, and often it's something as simple as a song. It can be a phrase. What was it someone said the other day? I'm trying to remember. It was just a one line. I thought, wow, what you could do with that? What kind of a story could evolve? Something that just triggers your curiosity. That's important. They say write about what you know. But I don't feel that way at all. I'm bored with what I know. I want to write about what I don't know and find out and research it.
How much research do you put in your books?
A lot. A lot. I grew up reading encyclopedias for pleasure. And now it's easier to go online, of course, and get your information. But I'll get caught up and go off a tangent and have to really rein myself in to come back to the story at hand. So many wonderful fragments of information out there. Even reading just all about you, I've got, wow.
I'm just me. I don't worry about it. Okay, let me ask you this, because this has been something all writers have this. Is there any genre you wanted to write and haven't done it yet?
I've written pretty much
47 books in the can. I mean, how many you wanted to attempt to try something avant-garde or whatever?
You know, there's two genres that I really haven't, and one is horror, and the other is, I'm tempted to say sci-fi, and I just don't have any interest in going into the far, far into the future. I wish I did, but I don't. So I'm limited there. Horror, you know, it gets depressing enough just trying to face the computer and get 2,500 words a day. So horror might depress me too much, too much more.
So do you have a limit? You say 2,500. Is that a limit or is that full?
No, that's not a limit, but it's the minimum that I try to get 5 days a week. But, you know, I'll go play tennis. I'll have to go, you know, do some kind of family affair or like this, an interview. And so I might have to end up working on Saturday or Sunday. But I try to get in 25,000 words a week.
Okay. I'm trying to find the right words. Excuse me for stumbling here.
No, I stumble. Thank you.
No, it's just basically, you haven't tried horror and you haven't tried science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
What was
right.
your first, have you, you haven't tried them or you've tried them and they failed?
I haven't tried them. I've been very lucky in what I've written. I've been writing short stories and articles since I sold my first one to Modern Secretary back in 1972, and my first book in 1976. And I've been very, very lucky. I've stayed busy and able to keep the coffers full. But it would help if, you know, if people buy the book, so I don't have to go to debtor's prison, and so my children will have food to eat.
Okay. No, let me ask you. Do people come up to you with, 2 to 1, since you sold the first one in 72, they have the article or they have the book or whatever. What's the worst fan experience you've had? If you want, I'll tell you mine. That way you don't have to worry about
please
having...
Please tell me yours so I won't have to worry. I have a couple, but I'm thinking, I want to hear yours. What was your worst?
I was in the head, the toilet, whatever you want to call it, at a convention where I was a guest. Person wanted to get my autograph. They slipped the program book of the science fiction convention under... The bathroom stall and asked me to sign it. I should take the book out. I'll sign it once I finish. My hands are a little dirty. And they said, well, I never. I said, well, I'm sorry. Mother Nature has to be appraised right now, and I'll do it after
that.
They were offended. I didn't sign it immediately. I'm sorry. My hands were a little dirty, and I didn't even wash them yet. I was in the bathroom stall, you know. Yes, I'm talking dirty.
I cannot top that story of a fan. I've had people who want to write and called me like it somehow got my number, you know, at 2 or 3 in the morning, but nothing like your story. You win on that one.
That's true. It's very true.
No.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but at almost all of the people, my readers who read my works have been extremely kind and considerate and complimentary and, you know, even sending wonderful gifts in the mail and flowers, you know, wherever I'm appearing. And I mean, I'm very, very lucky, fortunate to be doing what I'm doing. Isn't anyone who follows their passion, Bennett, it's the cake. And if you get paid for it, that's the icing. But it's so important to follow
you. Oh, I agree with you. It is the icing. I love icing.
Yeah, I do too. I like the icing and not the cake any day. I love to lick the bowl. But
me too, sweetheart. Me too.
If you're not following your passion, though, you're not living. You're just existing. So that's so important, I think, to do that. And don't go for the money. I've told all my sons that. And they've been very successful, discounting that they have malnutrition. Buy my books. Okay, go ahead.
We know. Well, what's the latest one available, and where can they get it now?
All right. Thank you, Bennett. It's When the Heart is Right, and it's in paperback and hardback and ebook, and you can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at on Amazon, on a lot of bookstores. So please buy it. It takes place in Taos, New Mexico in the 1920s. Can I tell
and
you a quick...
It's available now, correct?
It's available now. Can I tell you something really quick about it, if I talk real quick?
I'm sorry?
May I tell you something interesting about the research I did on it? Okay, it's really quickly. Have you heard of The Fall Guy?
Yes. I own the first season on DVD.
Well, it's not that, but the original, the term I'm talking about, the man, is the person who takes the rap. And in the 1920s,
I know that too.
The Taos Indians were trying to keep their sacred Blue Lake, and the Department of Interior secretary was corrupt, and he and several other people, but he got nailed for the corruption with the Teapot Dome scandal in Wyoming going on at the same time. All the other people who were corrupt in this did not go to jail. Only he went to prison, and his name, and he was the Secretary of Interior, was Albert Fall. So that's where we got the Fall Guy. How do you like that?
It's a true story. I know it.
Yeah, true story.
I know. I always get amazed with some of the true things, and they're like, oh, is that how it happened? Yeah, okay.
Isn't it amazing?
I used to like Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story.
Yes, I did too.
I used to love hearing the kicker at the ending. Oh, it's always.
I had a piece with him.
I wish he was still with us telling him. I loved some of his stories.
Well, I sold a piece to Paul Harvey that he did.
So let me ask you a very simple question.
All right.
Do you like your fans?
Do I? Oh my gosh, yes. Even when they give me, criticism on something that might not like the ending or something, it helps me to be a better writer. I appreciate my fans. I'm grateful for the readers. How about you?
What I find amazing is I remember I was at a convention, and this guy pulled up a yellowed piece of newspaper, which was a column I had written 8 months before, and he had this piece of yellowed newspaper with my column on it. And you know yourself, if you write columns, you know that columns are done 3 to 4 to 5 months in advance.
Right.
I try to remember each column is like murder. But he says, I disagree with you. I said, what are you disagreeing with me on? And he gave me the column. I read it. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. And why do you disagree? And he's like, well, and he started explaining why he disagreed with me. I said, that's a good point. But didn't I cover that in the second paragraph of that review? And he's like, yeah, but I don't think you fully covered it. Okay. I mean, I started talking to the guy at the desk signing autographs, and he was like turned into a dinner and evening after just discussing why he disagreed with me, and he disagreed with other authors or critics or whatever. And I thought it was fascinating.
Sometimes. So you are appreciative.
Appreciative, yes. You have to be in this business. You can't just let it die. A writer might say, "Well, they like or dislike something, and I'll tell them." Now, when I reviewed somebody, I always remembered this. This story rings so true with me. Guy messages me, and I told him, I said he gave it the college try and didn't fully succeed with it. And he wrote me a letter stating that it took him a year to write this piece, and I didn't take in consideration of the piece. And I was being mean and mean-spirited, which I wasn't. I was being honest. And his wife wrote me 3 days later saying, do you know how long it took him? It took him a year's of work, and he didn't spend much family time with me because he was working on this. And you just, with one fell swoop of your pen, destroyed him. And I remembered my response back was, Madam, I didn't destroy him. I just gave an honest opinion. If he thought I was wrong, fine, he has the right to rebut me. But the thing is, every point I made, other people have already said also. But, and then she said that I was the first one that said it to her. Instead of giving him a five.
That must be difficult. Doing what you do, doing reviews, is that, you don't find that difficult? Because you, I'm sure you alienate some people with your honesty. I mean, that's your job.
I remember Ray Bradbury told me something funny. He said, and I'm going to try to keep it clean. He says, everybody has a tush. Because mine is different than your tush, it still is what you're doing, you know? And you have to do it.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
You can write the same information, the same research, and I might come at from a different point than you do.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying yours is wrong or mine is wrong, but each of us come with the same piece of work.
Yes, it's called the writer's voice, and how we address it individually, the words we choose, the rhythm, that can all make all the difference in the same story that two different people are telling.
Exactly. I always think of, and I'm dating myself here, one of my writing teachers once told me to remember Rashomon, which is told the story.
I know what you're talking about.
The same story is being told from four points of view.
Yeah, it was Japanese film, wasn't it? That's our story that's from Japan. Wasn't it from Japan?
Yeah, it was filmed later, but the thing is, it was told from four different points of view.
Right.
That doesn't mean that one point is right or another point is right or a third point is right. It's depending on your point of view. I mean, you and I could write the same story, same characters, same story, and come out day and night.
Exactly.
And I would love, not today, but I would love to see if you and I could write a story to similar characters and everything else and see what we'd come up with.
And two different takes on it.
Exactly.
Tell me.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what if you were to give advice to writers, what would you say? One piece of advice.
Keep writing. I'm
going to
tell you the same advice I got 30 years ago. Keep writing. You get too many people that get discouraged too quick.
Yeah.
Now, I love, I love all writers, And you read a writer's works, and they could be telling two different stories, three different stories, 12 different stories. But you listen to their voice and see what they're thinking.
Exactly.
And, okay. Next week, by the way, before I forget, my guest will be Valerie Douglas. And she also has a web group online that I love dearly. It talks to writers of all sorts, gets to talk in her group online, and it's wonderful. And if you haven't, you should be. I love Valerie. I love everything she does, and she drives me crazy because she's
okay. Why?
Because
Why?
She's a special woman.
That sounds awesome.
I will say this, and I'm excited for who we got upcoming, because it blows my mind. In July, I'm jumping the gun here. We have Jennifer Chase. Well, let me start with the 2nd of July. We have the lovely Yvonne Mason. The 9th, we have the great Jennifer Chase. The 16th, we have Jean Marie Spacusa. The 23rd, we have Liz Saccone. And Elizabeth Black is on the 30th.
My,
so,
what an
I mean,
agenda.
You know, I always find it amazing when it's like, I got to listen to that show. Okay, you know. And,
oh, it
and
sounds
I have,
fascinating.
Oh, yeah. And you get a different take on different things. I mean, Jennifer Chase writes wonderful books. Yvonne Mason writes wonderful pieces. Valerie Douglas, oh, my God. What genre hasn't she tried? But that's beside the point. I want to make sure that they know where to get your stuff lately, the title of the book, and where they'd find it. You said Amazon.
Right. A Barnes & Noble, or, I mean, you can go online, the bookstores. And the title, again, is When the Heart is Right.
Okay.
And go online, and you can get it, and it's by Paris Efton Bonds, who has starving boys and needs money. Buy my book. Is that, can I plug
okay,
all that?
Okay, what other books of yours are out?
What's out right? Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, which takes place in the 1930s. And what else is out? Well, I got quite a few out, but it's the five coming up in November, the Texicans. Please remember that one. Thank you.
Well, you're going to be here in November with coaching me on.
Yeah. Well, may I give a word of coach before we sign off? A word of coaching?
Oh, always.
Okay, because writers say, what do you do on writer's block? And it's sort of what you just said. You write it wrong, even if you have to. Then you can go back and write it right. But be creative. Just write whatever, no matter how wrong it is. Then put on the editor's hat and go back and write it right and fix it up. So write, just like you said.
And I love good writers. One day we have to all of us have to get together at a convention, a mystery convention, a science fiction convention, and just enjoy just, a group of us just sitting there and talking. I always loved it. Used to do science fiction conventions, and you'd sit there and you'd get a group of people. And what amazed me is you get this group of people, diverse writers, just throwing the ball over each other and just talking. And,
like the round table
God.
And Algonquin. And remember, did you ever read about the round table in
yeah.
the Algonquin Hotel in New York? Yes, we could do that. But there's got to be icing that we can eat out of bowls, okay, for each of us?
The next show you do, the next convention you do, tell me, I'll go with you. We have
it's
90 seconds. Anything else you want to add, dear?
Anything else I want to add? Just a thank you. Thank you for thinking of me and how grateful I am and how blessed and lucky my life is. That is all.
That's
I
all
wish
that
I
matters.
Could think of anything else, but I'm dancing on sunshine to have talked with you tonight, Bennett.
My pleasure. Next week we have Valerie Douglas, and it'll be nice because Valerie is a great lady, and she's got like five new books coming out in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So it's like, oh, my God, five books. So I'm excited for her as well. She's going to be
she's
here
prolific.
Next Tuesday night. As I said, Yvonne Mason is beginning of next month. And if you haven't heard her radio show, you should. She is that good.
Wow.
So,
are
I'm
going to
thank
Bennett?
You. I'm going to thank you, dear, for everything. Please have a good day. Good night. Fly right.
You too.
Be well. Good night.
Hasta luego. Bye-bye.
Bye.